God bless you today. This morning, I'm going to be speaking on the subject of steps and stops. Notice the graphic behind me. You'll notice that I asked Lucas to create this little graphic because I wanted to make sure that it serves as a visual reminder of something very, very important that's going to be the theme of our teaching series today, steps and stops. Everybody say steps and stops. Okay. What am I talking about? Well, sometimes in life, you're stepping along and things are going well for you. And sometimes it seems like blessings are coming in and things are really flowing and God's will is really taking shape in your life and in your family. Sometimes it's going well. These are the times when most of us feel strong. We feel strengthened and we can move and we can make decisions with a lot of confidence because it's so obvious and so evident that God's hand and his blessing is with us. Don't we enjoy times like that? Amen. And I love those times in our life. But then there are also times when adversity arises in our life and gets in the way, and it can seem like there's an abrupt stop in what's going on. Right in the middle of your blessing, things can go wrong. People will do things that you don't understand. They'll say and do things and create unwanted circumstances for your life, and it comes along to disrupt your movement and can even cause you to begin to doubt whether or not God is still in control. So I'm speaking today on this simple title, Steps and Stops. Church, because we need to be reminded that God is in control while life is stepping, but he's also in control while life is stopping.
That's right.
Amen. Okay, so as you look at this picture here, you'll know sometimes you're stepping, sometimes you're stopping. But here's the thing, you're going to have steps and you're going to have stops. And I want you to be so equipped this morning to demonstrate your great faith and your great reliance upon God, whether your life is really stepping along or whether you're experiencing some type of adversity that seems to halt you in your steps. Steps and stops. Notice in Psalms chapter 37, and we'll just kind of jump off of this scripture this morning as we get going. 37 and 23 just says this, and you've probably heard this quoted your whole life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Thank God. This is your promise that God, when you're born again, when you're serving the Lord and all is well, God orders your steps. Aren't you glad for that promise?
Amen.
Amen. And so you read further, though, in verse 24, it says this. It says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So while you have a promise that when you're really being good, when you're serving the Lord, when you're born again and relying upon God, he's ordering your steps each day and each week, month, and year, you also have a promise that when things happen in your life that cause you to cease to stop, when adversity comes to cause you to stumble and fall, you will not be utterly fallen, but God will uphold you. In other words, he's ordering your steps and your stops. Amen. Y'all follow me along so far, guys? All right. He's ordering your steps and your stops. Now, one of the greatest examples of this principle in all of Scripture is the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul demonstrated an incredible attitude in his life and a reliance upon God during his life and in his ministry. Paul had an incredible life. You can read all about Paul's life in the book of Acts, and then he went on to write most of the New Testament. But he had an incredible life of great faith and diligence. It was a life of ministry and service that really was rivaled by no one in all of Christian history. He did mighty miracles for God. He established churches. Paul traveled the world and he spread the gospel in ways that uprooted entire cultures of false religions and turned entire cities over to Jesus Christ. Man, this guy was really awesome. He had a great mission. Paul's steps were certainly ordered by the Lord. But he also suffered incredible hardships in his life. His life was constantly on the line everywhere he went. He had people hunting him down in every town, and everywhere he went, he had people after him. The Bible says that Paul was beaten. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was imprisoned multiple times. So although he had a life of great stepping, he also had a life of plenty of stops and adversity and hardships along the way. But he showed us with his life and his faithfulness that while God was present and active in the middle of his blessing, God was also present and active in the middle of his suffering. And we need to hear that today. All right, here's a little story from Paul. Look at Acts chapter 14 and verse number 19. This is in a story where Paul is going to be really attacked and just one of his stops along his life's way. Bible says this, "Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there. And having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead." Now stop, notice a couple of things. First of all, he's in Lystra in this story, and people from Antioch and Iconium come after him. They hunt him down. And when they get there, notice that Paul was attacked by the people of Antioch and Iconium. Very important that you remember those two towns for just a moment. Okay, what do? They beat him with stones so thoroughly that those in attendance thought he was dead. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. They dragged him out of the city gate. They threw him out of the city. And they left his body there to rot in the sun. They beat him, stoned him, and threw him out. Now, think about it. If you are beaten and stoned to the point where your breath is so shallow, people assume that you're dead when they look at you. What do you suppose Paul looked like in that moment? Think about his physical appearance. What do you think he looked like in that moment when they thought he was dead? They came to town to kill him. They attacked him. They arrested him. They beat him. They stoned him. And they thought he was dead, so they threw his body out in the street outside of the gate. I imagine his face was smashed with stones. I imagine his eyes were swollen. Maybe he had busted, bloody lips. And they left him out there for the birds to come and pick at his flesh. And this is what we can call an enormous stop moment in the life of Paul. His ministry was going along. He was doing well, great in ministry in Lystra. He was spreading the gospel. He was seeing changed lives every day. Things were really happening one day. And then the very next day, he went from being a great minister, doing great things for God, and then he got beaten, stoned, left for dead. And the very next day, he's out on the city streets outside the gates being left for dead, hanging on to his life by a thread. But that wasn't the end of the story.
All right.
How many realize when God's not done, you ain't done?
Come on.
Amen. Look at verse number 20. I love this. God was ordering Paul's steps, but God was right in the middle of his stop as well. He's out there laying in the streets. Look what happened. Verse 21, however. Everybody say however. Now, when the word talks about however, you better get ready because something's going to happen. You know, sometimes we need some however moments in our life. I don't know about you guys, but I've had plenty of times in my life, long seasons, when, man, things were really stepping and going along greatly. And then all of a sudden something can happen and something unexpected, and all of a sudden it just comes to a complete stop. So I'm very well familiar with the steps and the stops, but I've learned along the way that when I trust God while I'm stepping, I also need to trust him while I'm stopping. Can y'all receive it today? Amen. Look at verse 20. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up, and look what he did. He went back into the city. Now, you got something going on in your life. When they leave you busted, bloody, left for dead, I imagine eyes swollen shut, busted lips, body. When your breathing is so shallow that they can't look at you and tell that you're still alive. But all of a sudden, God's not done. There's a stepping moment and a stopping moment, but the people, his followers, his believers got around him. I imagine they probably prayed for him, and the Bible says that he rose up, turned around, and went right back into the gate. Are you nuts, man? Come on. Crazy for Jesus right there. That's all I got to say. Come on. Amen. He went right back in there where they had just thrown him out. That's amazing to me. That's full-on trust in God right there. All right? Verse 21 says this. Look what he did. Oh, by the way, it goes on to say this. We need to see this. The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And so verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, look what they did. This blows my mind. They returned to Lystra. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I go into a town and the people call in reinforcements from two other towns, Antioch and Iconium, and they say, come on, he's here. We're going to gang up on him. We're going to attack him, beat him with stones until he's dead. We're going to throw him outside the city. I hope that I have enough strength and faith to get up and get out of there. Come on. But not this guy. Not only did that day, he went right back into the city. But then the next day, I imagine he probably needed a day to recover. They went on to Derbe. They've spent some time there preaching and making disciples and having a great time and encouraging the saints there. But look what they did. Then they decided to do something really nuts. Verse 21 says they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Right. Now, you got some faith. Not only does it take faith sometimes, church, to arise and go on with life, but he's just rubbing it in right here. He's just saying, you know what? You may try to kill me, but when God's not done, I ain't done. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so he says, you know what? We went to Derbe. I healed up. We made some disciples and did great. But now let's go back over there where they did not want us to start with, where they beat me and left me for dead. By the way, they called in Antioch and Iconium to beat me that day. So why don't we just go by there along the way too? Let's show them something. Amen. That's some great faith right there. See, he didn't just rise up and go back through Lystra's gate. He went to Derbe, preached a while. Then he decided to go back to Lystra. Along the way, stopping through Iconium and Antioch. These were the three cities whose leaders had ganged up on him together and tried to kill him. But the Bible says he went through those cities, strengthening the disciples in those cities. See, guys, it wasn't enough just to survive being stoned. He needed to go back and show himself to the believers to let them know something. That although he was stopped for a little bit, God was still moving and his mission was still stepping. What does that mean for me and you this morning? It means this. Do not be discouraged by those times in life when circumstances and adversity come against you and unexpected things happen in your life that seem to stop you and halt the movement of God in your life. Why? Because you just have to trust him while you're stepping. But come on, trust him while you're stopping as well. The mission continues in your life. You know, we're compelled to ask this question. What kept Paul going? What keeps us going, man? What kept the man of God moving and believing and working and getting up? Well, I believe it's this. He knew that God had ordered his steps. Yeah. And since he still had some breath left in him, it must be true that God was still in control. Even when he had great adversity, Paul knew that God ordered his steps and that God also ordered his stops. Amen. We'll tell you, faith-filled, true, mature believers understand that you don't just throw your hands up and stop believing God just because it gets hard from time to time. What do you do when it gets hard? Well, that's when you bear down and you say, Lord, I realize your word says that you order the steps of a righteous man. But your word also says that if something trips me up, I shall not utterly fall, but you will uphold me by your mighty hand. It works both ways. Praise God. Praise God. Don't you know it works both ways? You trust him in the good times and you trust him in the tough times. Paul knew this. He knew that God ordered his steps when it was easy, and God ordered his steps when it was tough. It's that kind of faith that triggered Paul's attitude of great strength and determination when things were going well and when things were hard. So this morning, real quick, I want to encourage you with just five little points, talking about five ways God will use your stops. How many of you have ever been through a great stop? Who knows what I'm talking about this morning? Great stop. I've heard so many great testimonies of people's victories. You know, some of the greatest victories we can hear about or just those times when people endured something terrible, but then at the very end, at the last moment, God strengthened them and they got back up again. Amen? And went on to live and went on to do great things for God. Five ways God uses your stops. Now, we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1 for a few minutes. This is Paul writing from a Roman prison. In fact, during this particular writing, Paul is awaiting his appearance before Caesar. He's going to spend 2 years waiting in this Roman prison. And during that time, he's writing letters to churches that he had either established himself on his missionary journeys or he had gotten to know along the way and wanted to encourage them. And one of those churches was the Church of the Philippians. All right, and so he's writing here from prison in chains. Okay, and here's what he says in verse 12 of chapter 1. Amazing thing. This is point number one. He said, but I want you to know, brethren. Look at this attitude. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Come on, y'all. Notice his attitude. The first thing that he writes to encourage these people. And this brings us to number one in about your stops. Number one, look closely. God will advance the gospel in the middle of your stop.
Yes.
Come on, aren't you glad about that?
Yes.
God will advance the gospel in the middle of your adversity. Notice that Paul doesn't write to the church complaining about his hardships or how tough it was being in prison. No, he wasn't concerned with letting them know how hard he had it. He talked to them about a different kind of perspective. He told them that his chains and his suffering were actually used by God to advance the mission of the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what reliance upon God does in our life. It transforms our thinking. It causes us to find the mission in the middle of our mess. This is what Paul mastered. This is what he did. If you're going through a hard time, you better believe that God has a mission for you. He will use whatever you're going through to propel his gospel and change the lives of the people around you.
Amen.
When you have a stop in your life and adversity in your life that creeps in and rages against you, God will use your mess to further his cause. You better believe it this morning. If you'll let him do it and not give up on your faith, but hold on to your faith in the living God, he'll turn it around and he'll begin to use you right in the middle of that mess to propel the gospel.
Amen.
Come on, if you receive it, say a good amen this morning.
Amen.
Come on. When you have a stop, you just need to know that he has not forgotten about you. He has not left you alone to go through it all by yourself. Rather, church, listen to me. He has entrusted you to go through your stopping time with faith, with dignity, with great strength. Why? So the gospel can go forth through your trial.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Come on. I've been preaching the last few weeks a series called Taming Your Temptations. And if we've learned anything during that series, I hope that it's this, that when you're being tempted, when you're being tried, God provides you a way of escape.
Yeah.
And he'll not allow you to be burdened with more than you can bear. Here's the issue today. He'll take every trial, every adversity, every temptation, everything in your life that's planted there to cause you to reach a stop in your life and to stop progressing and seem like you're not being blessed anymore. He will use every one of those obstacles to turn it around and show you and show the people around you how to rely on what God can do.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Paul went on to write this. Verse 13, the next thing. He said this, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Wow. And that brings me to number two, God will unleash your witness during your stop. I want y'all to read that with me. Come on, out loud, everybody. God will unleash your witness in your stop. It's amazing. And this is going to challenge a lot of people who are conditioned to just kind of bow down and curl up and start complaining and feel sorry for yourself during your adversity and during your hard times. Because if you're a believer today, you need to rely on Jesus and the blood shed on the cross of Christ and what he did for you and the change that he made in your life at the cross. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Because he didn't die on the cross just so that you could cower down and give up when things get hard. No, what did he do? He died on the cross to secure a great future for you, an eternity for you, and he gave you spiritual power by the Holy Spirit in your life so that when things get hard, you can be a great witness for him. Jesus said it like this in Acts 1 and 8. He said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth." In other words, church, it's God's Spirit working within you that causes you to arise with great power and hope and faith when it gets hard. When your flesh gives up, God's Spirit and the presence of Christ takes over and enables you to maintain a strong, healthy, effective witness right in the middle of your mess. He said it was evident to the whole palace guard. Now listen to this. The guards who were assigned to prisoners who were awaiting a hearing before Caesar were actually chained to their prisoners. They weren't just standing there observing or guarding a prison cell. The guards themselves were chained to those prisoners. So the Apostle Paul would have been literally chained to a Roman guard, 24 hours a day, four shifts per day for 2 years. That means that Paul had nearly 3,000 opportunities to witness to Roman soldiers during his imprisonment. Y'all getting a hold of this, guys? 3,000 chances. Man, by this time, this guy was so excited, it was time to shift chains. I've been telling this guy about Jesus all night long, and so here it is. Time for the first shift. Come on, unchain me and hook me up to that guy because he's supposed to get an earful of the gospel too. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Amen. Think about that. And here's what I want you to think about it. Sometimes when you're going through adversity, church, you feel like you're chained to people who are holding you in some kind of prison. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Man, I've been there. You feel like you're chained to a situation. You're chained to a person that's bringing you down. But hear me out on this. Just like the Apostle Paul, it may be that God has you chained to some people for the purpose of you giving them his message of hope. And you need to think about your adversity just like this, because he's ordering your steps and your stops. Find out why you're chained to those people. See, you just thought they were in your life to harass you, but you're actually in their life to reach them. Come on.
Yeah.
You just thought you were chained to people who were there to bring you down. It could be that God, in ordering your stops and your adversity, he's got you chained to them because he's got a purpose for them, and he wants you to be a great light and a voice of the gospel in their life. You need to stop praying that the Lord remove these people out of your life and start praying for the Lord to increase your faith and strength and power to impact them with the gospel.
Yes.
Can y'all receive it this morning? Say a good one. Come on. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He goes on, Philippians 1:14. I love this attitude we're seeing today. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Look what how he's describing. In other words, here we go, number three, God will empower others in your stop. Read it one more time. God will empower others in your stop. See, church, during your stop, people are going to watch and see how you handle adversity. God will use your disposition. He will use your faith. He will use your countenance, your example, to empower the people around you, and you will show them how to put their trust in the Lord. Here, hear me. It's easy to show people how to rejoice when things are going great.
Amen.
Oh, that's the easy part. You know, it's easy to show people how to rejoice and trust the Lord. Man, it's easy to encourage the people in your life as long as everything's going well in your life.
Amen.
Right? And then we turn it around sometimes and we don't give ourselves enough credit. And we say, well, I'm going through something, so I'm the one who needs encouragement right now. And that's fine. And sometimes we are. But I believe the gospel impact on our life and the example of people like Paul the Apostle would say this to us. Well, I'm going through something right now, so I better rise up because somebody's watching for me to show them how to put their trust in Jesus right now. We relinquish our faith way too quickly sometimes when we go through something. We throw up our hands and say, well, I'm the one that needs the encouragement today. But I know, and I realize we all get there. I'm certainly there sometimes myself. But don't sell yourself short on what God can do through your life. It could be that you don't need to just throw in the towel and say, well, I just need to be encouraged today. It could be that you need to just open your eyes with a faith-filled perspective and say this, I realize it's hard today. I realize I've got adversity right now. I realize I'm at a stopping point in my steps right now. But you know what? I'm not needing anything other than the power that's already within me, because greater is he who is in me than he that's in this world. So when people come to me to find out what I'm going through, they may just come to be stroking me and to wipe my tears, but what they're really going to get is a man or a woman of God who's ready to turn around and say, you know what, just watch and see how I handle this. Just watch and see what God does through this situation. I'm going to empower you. Why? So next time you go through something in your own life, you can look back and say, well, old Brandon, you know what, he went through this situation or that situation, but he was faithful. He held on to what God said in his word. He held on to what he believed, and we saw God do a miracle on something great. And because we saw that, now I can hold on and believe that God's going to do something great in me too. Come on. Don't sell yourself short on what God can do in your life. Come on, if you receive it, say a good amen right there. Come on. Real quick, just two more. Number four, look at verse 1 and 19. Paul goes on to write this. By the way, people are looking. Do y'all realize people are looking? I believe they're looking now more than ever. They're really looking now more than ever. And by the way, in light of the Supreme Court decision this week, people are going to be looking even more. Okay, because the Christian church got a big victory. A lot of prayers were answered. And praise God for what happened. Amen, everybody? I was so proud of what happened in the Supreme Court with this decision this past week. And I wasn't going to make a statement about that, but I will anyway. I was proud of our state. Karen and I were driving yesterday to a wedding, and we had a wedding last night, and we were driving, and we got the, just within an hour and a half or so after the Supreme Court decision, the state of Alabama made a move from the state justice department to shut down the abortion clinics all over the state. Within an hour. And we give God praise for the lives saved. Not just the little babies, but the precious mamas too. Amen. And we thank God for that. And we believe it's in the right direction. But you better believe that when the church gets a victory, the world is going to be watching even harder. Okay? Just what happens in everyday life. But they're watching. We can't forget that our commitment to trust him is a full-time commitment. People are watching to see if you're going to lean on Jesus and let him turn your mess into a message.
That's right.
119. Look quickly. 19. Look at what he said. For I know. Man, that's powerful right there. I know. Come on, everybody say it. Say, I know.
I know.
Man, we need that faith. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that brings me to number four. God will grow you in the middle of your stop. This is one of the most impactful tools that God has given us. The ability to view our adversity through faith and hope. Hear me out. To process your mess, not based on what it looks like today, but what you know it's going to turn into. Can y'all see that, guys?
Amen.
Paul said, I know that it looks bad right now, but this is going to turn out differently than it looks right now. I'm going to be delivered because I've got the secret weapons. Here's what he said. He says, I've got prayers coming in, and I've got the supply of the Spirit of Jesus in my life. And this is all I need to see the future that God has for me through this thing. prayers and the Spirit. Amen, everybody.
Amen.
Real quick, guys. Philippians 1 and 20 and 21, and this is the final one. He said this, and read it closely with me, guys. He said, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or in death. And verse 21 says this, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that brings me to number 5, and one of my favorite issues here. Look closely. God will use your stop to remind you of your mission. Can y'all see that? God will use your stop to remind you of your mission. Hear me, guys. When you realize that God is ordering your steps and your stops, you're able to evaluate all your experiences in relation to your life's purpose. Now, everybody in here has got a great purpose for your life.
That's right.
Oh, God's got a great plan for you. He's got a great mission for you. Oh, Pastor Brandon, I don't have a great mission. My mission is just a struggle. My mission is just to struggle through and survive day to day. That's a lie.
That's
a lie from the devil. Come on. And you need to bind and rebuke that mindset. Pull it down. Get it under the authority of the name of Jesus and the Word of God. And understand that the Word declares that every person has got spiritual and ministry gifts and an expectation to be used mightily by God in your life. When you go through things, it should remind you of your mission. Paul's attitude was this in verse 21. Even if this thing kills me, I gain Christ, and I've lived and served as not to be ashamed when I see him. See, right in the middle of your adversity, church, it's your purpose and your mission that drives you to get back up and keep pushing on. God is in control of your steps and your stops. Y'all receive it today? Final statement I'm going to make, and I'm going to pray for everybody today. Exercise faith during your times of adversity. God will use those times to make you a greater follower of Christ. Amen, everybody. Your steps and your stops. Y'all receive it today. Come on, if you receive it, say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Y'all stand up with me all over the room.